Thank God for that. If you have your Bibles, first of all, wave them at me. We'll see them. Thank God. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here tonight. If you got your Bibles, go to Esther, the book of Esther. The book of Esther, chapter number 4. Esther, chapter number 4. When you get there, say amen. That's pretty quick. Esther chapter 4, go down to verse 13, and I'll read to the conclusion of the chapter to verse 17. And would you mind tonight stand for the reading of the Word of God? Esther chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. I'm glad I got a Bible I can trust in. I'm glad it's inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved. I'm glad God preserved the Bible for us. I think this King James Bible is God's preserved word. I'm not going to argue about it, fuss about it. I'm just going to study it more and read it more. Amen. The Bible said then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also, my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Let me read it again. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. Our Father, in this dark day, when it seems like so many folks are quitting, are getting out, Lord, we need to get in. We need to shine. We need in this lost, dark world to shine for you. I pray tonight that you empower me tonight. I pray that the power of God will rest in me, Lord, and that I'll give you glory and I'll help somebody tonight. And Lord, there may be somebody that's ready to throw in the towel, ready just to quit. Lord, help them to realize they came to a kingdom for such a time as this. Help them to realize the only hope for this world is in Christ. Amen. Help us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. I want to make a statement at the beginning of this, and I'll give you a little background in the story. But I want to make this statement first. No one in this room is here by accident. I think I ought to say that again. There's no one here, or no one ever born, was there by accident. You're here, boy, get this, because of divine providence. Can I illustrate it a little bit? Illustrate your life this way. I want to illustrate my life this way. My life is somewhat like a quilt. How many seen some of them old time patch quilts? How many seen them? Sure you have. And a lot of times when they made those quilts, they put certain patches for certain things. Amen? You've seen them. I love patch quilts. I liken those patches to people, Lois, that God has put in our lives through his providence to encourage us along the way and to help us. I want to say this tonight. I thank God for all of you that you're in my quilt. You're in my life. I'm glad, somebody ought to shout here, that God has placed people in my life to help me along the way. I mentioned Dr. Harrison going to preach in our homecoming. I remember him 43 years ago. Him coming to a church to hear me preach. And one of the guys told him, said, "You come to steal our preacher," remember? And then he came to my house, him and the two other deacons, and my wife was there in the kitchen barefoot and pregnant. You remember that? And what did she have for you? She had a cake. And God, Dr. Harrison, put you in my life, in my quilt, by his providence. Right behind you is one of my best friends in the world, Paul Tumbler and his wife Joyce. He's a deacon here and helped me. Paul, God by his providence brought y'all from Boone County to Taze Valley to be in my quilt. Whew. I am glad for God. When we think everything's out of control, he has it all under control. Our story, let me just give you a little background. Started out with a king that was having a lewd party in chapter 1 and asked his wife Vashti, who was a heathen, to dance a lewd dance. And she denied him. She said no. Hey, by the way, young people, moms, dads, no's not a bad answer when the devil tries to put something in your life that shouldn't be there. It's kind of one of them answers folks don't like anymore. No, but I want you to know, you ought to say no to drinking. You ought to say no to drugs. You ought to say no to bad living. You ought to say no to sin. Somebody help me preach. And she refused the king. And she wouldn't come. And he banished her. And he humiliated her. And then they had a beauty contest to get a new queen. And the king didn't know it. But when they had the contest, there was a little Jewish girl that took part and would not tell him and did not tell him that she was a Jew. And God, oh Lord have mercy, I'm getting ready to preach. And God put her in the quilt to save a nation, to save a people. You just don't know why God's got you in his big plan, but I want everyone in this room to know there is a reason. He's placed you in his big quilt that he could do something through you through his providence tonight. I'll say three things by way of introduction. And by the way, Esther won the contest, became the queen. And then there's a Jew hater, rose up that hated her cousin Mordecai. Some people say he's her uncle. Better read it closer. Because her dad was his uncle. So that made them cousins. But there was a man named Haman raised up to annihilate the Jews. By the way, this country's got some Hamans. How about AOC? How about Mrs. Omar? They're Jew haters. They're anti-Semitic. They're ungodly. Somebody help me preach. One of the tests of this day and one of the tests for us is whether we're going to stick by Israel or not. And by the way, Haman is just a type of the Antichrist. He was going to try to destroy the Jew. They tried to destroy the Jew during World War II. And by the way, in the last days, during the tribulation period, they wrote a book called The Second Holocaust that they're going to try to destroy the Jews again. But I want all y'all to know, they will not be successful because God's got a big plan for them. Whew. I'm sensing some preach coming out of me right now. Let me say three things by way of introduction. First of all, these were difficult times. Israel was getting ready to be destroyed. And here's what had to happen. In this difficult time, and by the way, can I say this to you? We're in difficult times. And by the way, it's not chance tonight where you are and when you are. It's not easy to be a child of God tonight. But it wasn't easy for Esther to stand up for God in such a time as this. I know we're living in difficult days. I know that our movement is not as popular as it was in the 80s and the 90s. But whether it's popular or not doesn't matter to me. It's whether it's right or not. And I want all y'all to know I haven't recovered from nothing. You know, they got the recovering fundamentalists on the YouTube making fun of us. But can I say something about that? There's some of the recovering fundamentalists that come out every once in a while. This church supported them and paid for their insurance and paid for their money to live on for years and years and years. And they love taking it. Shame on them. We're trying to hurt the faith. Shame on somebody that would get an IFB clip to get a preacher to say something in the middle of his sermon, then them broadcast it when they don't put it in context or nothing, just to humiliate them. I know that we're living in a difficult time. We're not only at war with this anti-God, anti-Christ government, but it's shameful we're in war with people says they're children of God. I mean, I can understand the government's hostility toward us. I can understand the LGBTQ hostility toward me. I can understand the abortion crowd's hostility toward me. I can understand the hate groups, the Black Lives Matter have hostility toward me. But I cannot understand people who says they're saved. It just wants to attack each other and humiliate one another when we're supposed to be children of God. Am I preaching? So they were difficult times. But also, not only that, they were times when a decision had to be made. Here's the decision. If Esther held her peace, Mordecai told her, here's what was going on. The queen only could go before the king when he said so. And the law said she could not go before the king unless he asked her. But Mordecai said, Haman's after me, and he's trying to annihilate the Jews. You need to go to him. You got a decision to make. And here's what he told her. He said, by the way, if you don't go, you're going to be destroyed in your father's house. But I want you to know, somebody else will do it. I want to give you this. If you don't do God's will, God will get somebody else to do his will. And here's your decision. Am I going to be ashamed of my generation? Am I going to be ashamed of my people? Am I going to back off from this awesome task? Or am I going to stand up for God? And it, by the way, it's a decision every one of us in this room needs to make. If we perish, we perish. The whole generation of Jews were at stake. Then thirdly, it was a dark time. Spiritual darkness. And God brings forth a light. I'm getting to the text. Y'all stay with me. Do you know what her name means, anybody? It means a shining star. A shining light. In other words, God, through his providence, put her in his quilt to shine in a dark time. Tonight, I'm going to preach this kind of sermon. It's time to shine. It's time to shine. It's not time to put our light out. It's time now to shine our light brighter and the gospel brighter, because I'll say this, a little light in all this darkness will go a long way. Before I give the 3 points, I got to tell you one more illustration. I don't know if any of y'all do this. Is it on the History Channel or the Geographic Channel? I can't remember. Anybody y'all like that show called The Pickers? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Please, one person say you know what I'm talking about. Okay. I watch that corny thing all the time. It's corny. You know what them pickers do? I saw them. I've watched them. They go in to big pits in weeded areas where copperheads and rattlesnakes are and find old junk. I saw them one day go in that place and find a bell. Wayne looked like it come across World War II. It was rusted. It was ugly. Big old thing. And them suckers tucked that into their place, chiseled around on it, sanded it. And later on in the episode, they brought that thing out. And it shined, and they got $1,000 for that one bell. And I thought, my God, you mean just putting a little shine on it and taking the rust off of it and presenting it, they could get $1,000 and they didn't pay one dime for it. I want you to know something. We all been bought with a price. We've got a lot of rust on us. We got a lot of bad stuff on us. But when God starts working on us and putting us in the fire and burning off the dross, we can come out shining. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what this world does, it's time to shine. Boy, I'm feeling good tonight. 3 things I want to give you and I'm done. Number one, whoo, glory. She shined. Listen to this carefully. She shined for a silent God. Do me a favor. When you go home tonight, for the first person that finds the word God in the book of Esther, I'll give you $100. I'll give you $100 bill. I got it in my back pocket. Took it out of Marguerite's pocketbook. Go find it. Go find it. The only book of the Bible that the name of God is not in it. Somebody help me preach here. I want all y'all to hear me real good. Hear me good. Though God wasn't in the book, and his name wasn't in the book, mentioned in the book, he was in the shadows. Amen. Watching. Because yes, see, he had a star to shine. He had a lady to shine. And he wasn't shining, but he was working in her that she might shine. Ladies and gentlemen, we haven't seen God. We haven't seen Christ, but he is working on us and working in us that we might shine in this lost and dark and wicked world. I thought of this. How many of you in your Christian life have ever had an experience when you thought, where is God in my life? Yeah, anybody here?
Yes, sir.
Come on, raise your hand if you ever felt alone.
Yes, sir. Sure did. Yeah. Come on.
Have you? Is it what I do when I can't sense God, can't feel God, can't touch God? You shine. Because he's in the shadows. Watching you and seeing how you're going to perform. Hey, it's not how you perform in public that counts. It's how you perform in the dark that counts. It's not how you perform out there when everybody will give you applause. And by the way, I'm going to throw this in. Why is it that in this generation of preachers and that people think, well, if my son or my daughter don't get patted on the back and don't get applause, I'm just going to take my ball and bat and go home. Shame on you. Shame on you. That just shows what kind of Christian you are. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been preaching here 43 years, and I had a lot of applause when I first started. I don't get much now. I don't get much now. That's all right. Because see, God knows my heart. And I done made my mind up even when he seems silent. And there have been some dark times in this preacher's life. There ain't been some dark times in your life. When people abandoned you and put you off and snarled their nose up at you. But I want you to know, God wasn't away from you. He was just in the shadows seeing if you was going to shine. Anybody can shine when everybody's patting you on the back. Anybody can shine when we're having Jubilee. Anybody can shine when the house is full. Anybody can shine when everything's going right. But thank God for the people who shine when they're in trouble. Shine when they don't see God's power and don't see God around. But they're staying faithful anyhow. Somebody help me preach.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you what she done. She made this statement, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to shine, and I'm going to preach against social drinking like I always have. I'm going to preach on pornography like I always have. I'm going to preach on homosexuality just like I always have. I'm going to say abortion is murder like I always have. I'm going to preach against the Calvinists, the contemporary, and the charismatics just like I always have. You say, what if they get you? What if they hang you out to dry? They just don't understand. Somebody in the shadows who is Jesus is going to take care of me, and all he wants me to do is stand for him and shine. Number two, I'm almost done. Whew. I sense a pressure. She shined even when the situation was gloomy. Let me give you her background. You know, a lot of us make excuse, this kind of excuse. And by the way, God ain't buying this. Well, you just don't know how I was raised up. You don't know the difficulty I was raised up in. Well, you wasn't raised up as bad as she was. Well, you know, Father's Day, you honored your father. Well, she wasn't raised up with a mother or father. Something happened to him. She growed up and had to marry a pagan king. A crazy man named Haman was going to kill her people. Instead of blaming her circumstance, look at me. Instead of blaming her circumstance, she used it as a catalyst to shine. Amen. It's a good or not. Praise God. I'm not going to tell you that some of you are not in gloomy situations. Maybe right now in your life, the situation you find yourself in is gloomy. And I don't doubt that. And I'm not making light of it. But what I am saying is, you need to shine in your gloomy situation. You need to shine even though you might be having financial problems. You need to shine even though you might be having physical problems. You need to shine even though you might have friends that have forsook you. You need to shine even though you might have family that look down on you. You need to shine tonight when all the church may not even like you and think you're an oddball. You need to shine. You think 43 years, like me being here, Wayne, it's always been bright lights? Y'all haven't seen my tears. You haven't seen the nights I stayed up all night praying for you and praying for the church and tears running down my face. But it was not a time to run. It was a time to shine. You said, preacher, it seems like right now ain't nothing going right. Hold on. Hold on. God's getting ready to hang Haman. And if you just hold on a while and shine, even in your dark moment, even in this difficult, gloomy situation, I'll tell you this, one of these days you'll be like Job and you're going to come forth as gold. Here's what Philippians says about it. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Stop using your situation as an excuse. Oh, Seth, I look back at him. Seth, I want you to know. I know you was over in Welch Minister last week. Had your daughter Sarah with you. And I'm kidding. You and Sarah, I'm so proud of you. I know you've had some difficult times in your life. I know that you went all the way down there to Florida with a pure heart. And you wasn't done right. I know that. I'm disappointed in the person that done it to you. But hold it, Seth. Look at me. Even though it was dark down there, God was in the shadows. Watching old Seth Tumbler. And you know what God done? Hey, it was worth the abuse to go down there and get the Sarah. Somebody help me preach right there. I want you to know, in that dark, gloomy situation, you know what happened? Praise God, Miss Sarah came into his life. They're a big part of our church today. They're a big part of the family of God today. I say this to you, God wants you to shine in your gloomy situation because I want you to know he's getting ready to hang Haman. Am I preaching? Lastly, I'm done. Look at verse 14. I'm done. And 15. and 16. For if thou, Mordecai talking to her, holdeth thy peace at this time, then shall there be their enlargement and deliverance arise to Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Okay, cuz. Hey, cuz. You're the one raised me, cousin Mordecai. He said, go. She said, go gather together all the Jews that are present, verse 16, in Shushan, and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. And I also, my maidens, will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. I'm not supposed to do it. And Mordecai, if I perish, I perish. She shined, thirdly, for the survival of her generation. God is going to use somebody in these last days for the survival of this next generation. You may ask, Pastor John, why would you? And I want y'all to know, the trip we just took, it was no vacation. Now, we had a couple visiting days, a couple free days that we did see the Grand Canyon. And I saw a couple things I never seen before. But I want y'all to know, and the kids are probably watching, those kids and those leaders led by Pastor Chad and Pastor Grant. By the way, Pastor Grant, Pastor Chad, y'all shined. And oh, by the way, all you 29 on that bus, you shine. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the hottest I've ever been in my life. Those 5 days they were in the field, it was 115 degrees. I could feel my skin burning. And I want to tell you what happened. Out on the reservation, they had to wear a mask because the chief made them wear a mask out there. Could you imagine wearing a mask in 115 degrees? But why'd they do it? They were shining. And because they shined, they had seven folks saved. Now, I'm going to equate, I'm going to get y'all something in your mindset. We went to other mission fields and had 100 and 200 saved. But ladies and gentlemen, their seven was equal to 500 because of the extreme conditions. And we didn't have the multitude of people. Because, see, they really don't want church down there. But God, you want God done? You want God done?
Bless him, Lord.
He put us in their quilt.
Yep.
Amen.
He put y'all in his quilt. That's why you're there.
Touch him, God. Yes, sir.
I want y'all to know. I know I'm getting old, but if I could go through that, I must be a pretty tough old bird. But I want y'all to know my heart's desire, the next several years I get to pastor, or a few years, whatever it is to raise up this next generation.
Come on, preacher.
They still need some of us. They need some Joe Arfers. They need some John Smiths. They need some Wayne Harrison, some faithful, elderly men. I hate to call myself that, but I am, to be a help to them.
Yes,
sir. I'm in your life to help you shine.
Yes, sir.
I'm in your life to help you shine. I'm now in your life to help you shine.
Amen.
Young preacher, we're here to help you shine.
Come on.
Young families, we're here to help you shine. We're here for your survival. I know one of these days soon, I'm 70, so I'm around in third. There'll be no John Smith. There'll be a day when my casket will be rolled up here. And you'll say your last goodbyes. I hope it's a while. I'm praying for, you know, 7-10 years of more pastoring. I don't know if I'll get it. But whenever it's over, I want you to be able to walk by me and look down at me and say, well, I'll tell you one thing he done. He never did please people all the way, but he shined. I know a young pastor, he helped them survive a bad situation. I know some young preacher that's preaching now in churches and are successful. He was their mentor. And by the way, everyone in this room that's up in age, you're somebody's mentor. And God wants you to shine for the survival of this generation. And I'll say this, and I'm done. If some of us don't raise up and shine, our nation's gone. It's over.
Yes, sir.
Because I want you to know, our political system is broke. Our president is a broken man. His vice president is broken and crazy.
Yeah. Preach on right there.
And that Speaker of the House is nutso.
Come on. Preach right there. Come on.
And I don't have much for Mitch McConnell or Schumer. My hope is not in them. My hope is in a generation to shine. Let this light shine. Let this little light, remember singing, can you sing a little hymn? Sing just a little bit of that, will you? Do it.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Help, sing, help.
This
come on.
Little light of mine,
come on.
I'm gonna let it shine.
Hold a minute. Have you thought about quitting? Have you thought about backing up? Have you thought about stopping? Sing some more.
This little
how can you?
Mine,
I'm gonna let it shine and shine, let it shine, let it shine. Listen, our generation is at stake. Your children is at stake. Your grandchildren is at stake. I wonder how many people tonight in this church family would say, I want to be a part in that quilt. And I'm going to come up forward and I'm going to bow my head and pray for this next generation and pray for my country and my church. And I want to pray that God, whatever light that I have, whatever light that I have, would shine. Amen. Stand with me. If God spoke to you, maybe you're in a gloomy situation, a difficult situation, but God needs you for so. Just come on up. Our Father, as I dismiss, I pray folks will gather around this altar, find a place to pray. I pray that on that bus that's driving home, that there'll be some young people get on their knees in the tour bus and pray. I pray tonight some grandmas, grandpas will come and pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on.